It is so easy, I think, for us to get off on the wrong foot with this evening's gospel. Because I don't think that Jesus is not telling us to save some money or be prepared or any of those things, okay? It's not what he's saying at all. But some of you are like, oh, I'm supposed to just give it all away and I'm not supposed to have a plan. No. Too many people in our society today, and especially here in the United States, are one little disaster away from financial ruin. Okay? We have way too many people that if somebody gets sick, or if they lose their job for a couple weeks, or some of those things, they just suddenly are over the cliff when it comes to keeping their lives together. And nobody needs to live that way. Nobody deserves to live under that kind of pressure. Okay? That's just too much for anybody to know that they're one little misstep away from financial tragedy. So it's not about having a plan, and it's not about having insurance, if you will, and it's not about making sure that we're secure, but rather, I think the push for our first reading in our gospel today are to remind us that God is still going to be God. And that so many things are not dependent upon what we save or what we have, but they're really dependent upon how we live our lives. Where are our true riches? And, well, again, while I'm not saying that we should try to live in this world without money, because it doesn't work very well, okay? But I am saying is, what truly is it that makes us rich? What truly is it that gives us in our lives a way of living to where we are, to use the words of the second reading, living like our minds are on things above rather than just having them only to be concerned about the things that are here on earth? All right? So don't be hearing me say you're wrong for having a savings account. Or don't be hearing me wrong by saying that, you know, you're right to take financial security for your family and those things. Those are all good things. But ultimately, we need to remember that those are just things and ways of us surviving here. But how do we really live? That's what God wants us to take a look at. How do we really live? How do we fix our things and our sights on the things that are a notch above all that? Because that's where we're really going to find our happiness and our life, okay? So we look at Koheleth, and I stop and I look at perfect examples in my own life, my own family. You know, Koheleth, if you read the whole thing, it's not that long of a book, but it's full, chock full of little wisdom, and it is the wisdom literature, okay? And in there, basically, we got this small passage today that basically says, you know, and, you know, one of the silliest things of all is to, you know, again, you know, be saving all this stuff for your kids, because they haven't worked for it. I wish my mom and dad had read this before they died. And I wish they'd have read it before they set up their trust, okay? Because I stop and I think about what happened to my family after all that. If all that had gone to the scholarships that my mom and dad wanted to establish, right then and there, my family would have not had nearly the messiness that it had. But the minute that it came to be about money, everybody got weird. And trust me, it's not just my family I'm talking about here, and some of you know exactly what I'm saying. Okay? All of a sudden, when things become about money, things get so strange in so many instances. I wish that it just said, hey, you got what you got, we're moving on. Let that money go to somebody else who needs it worse than you guys do. I wish they'd have said it and done it. Because it would have kept my family, the ones who survived them, more focused on the things above. It would have made it more possible. At that moment in time, we'd have just been grateful that their generosity was going to help other people go to school. Why not? You know? They'd already paid for my education. Why not pay for somebody else's? In the gospel, Jesus even tells the parable, okay? And in the parable, he's basically saying to all of us, and remember, you can't take any of it with you, okay? You can't take any of it with you. So stop worrying about trying to build bigger stuff to save all your stuff. And I have to laugh. Do we realize, and if any of you own storage sheds, I'm not picking on you, but I'm saying, how goofy is it that we have all these places all over the place where we store all the stuff that we can't fit in our houses? Does that not strike you as a little bit strange? It does me when I stop and I think about it. And I'm not saying some of that stuff is not worth saving, but what I'm saying is, why do we have an entire industry out there based upon how many toys we own when we die? What's that all about? I've even seen the t-shirt, "Please don't go buy one." But it says, "The one who dies with the most toys wins." What's that all about? It's goofy. Because it's not about how much stuff we have or how much stuff we get. It's about how we're living. And how we're living really matters. And the writer of Colossians knew all that. The writer of Colossians knew all that when he was trying to say to people, that's why you got to fix your sights on things that are above. And then he says, if you're going to fix your sights on things that are above, learn how to live like Christ. There's our example for living differently. How do we set our hearts on the things that are above? How do we set our thoughts on things that are better or higher or what God wants rather just upon what we want? How do we do that? Because when we do that and we learn how to be other Christs, we start to treat the whole world and everybody in it differently. Do you realize how many people lost their lives in the United States this week? Just because somebody figured that somebody else wasn't as worthy of living as they were. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? We're sick. We have an illness here in the United States, and yet we think we're so well off. Well, we may be well off in terms of having a little bit more dollars than maybe a lot of the rest of the world, but we are not well off in terms of the illness that strikes us as a society. When somebody can go out and shoot other people because they think that those other people don't count as much as they do. I have no problem with telling women that their lives are worth every bit as much as mine as a man. But what happens when we start calling life in the womb not worth as much because it's not here and it's not born? What's that all about? That's another illness that we have as a society. We devalue life. We put value markers on, well, you're worth something because you fit these demographics, but you're not worth quite as much because you fit those others. Is that thinking the way Jesus does? Is that the way to think of things above? Remember, the writer of the Colossians letter, it gets to the end, he says, and so that's why there's no Jew or Greek. Now remember, they had prejudices and messes in the early church too. They were no exception either, okay? Lest we think that there was ever a perfect time to be a Christian, all right? They had their messes too, and they were being told, and that's why stop treating each other. You're using that language of them and us. Oh, I'm a Jew, so I'm better than those of you who came along later, you Greeks. Is that the way Jesus went about things? I ask you, did Jesus at any point in time treat somebody better than somebody else because of how much money they had? No. Did Jesus treat anybody different because they were a different skin color or a different race, a la Samaritans versus Jews? Did he? No. And whatever us or them we come up with, we need to figure out how to get rid of it. Because as long as we're using language of us and them, we're not doing it right. We're not being other Christs. And I'm not about to stand here and tell you that I think the church has figured this all out. Because we still have a problem. If you're going to tell me that I really think that we have the same attitude toward men and women, even in the church, I'd be standing here lying to you. It's a problem. What bad words have you said about another group? I was preaching in Carthage this morning, and it was very easy for me to say, both at the English Mass and at the Spanish Mass, we all say things about it, don't we? We say things about each other, don't we? You tell jokes about the gringos. And they started to laugh. And I said, and the gringos tell jokes about you. And they went, same thing, back and forth. It's long as we've got an us and them mentality. We haven't done it. What other people have you thrown something at this week? People who may be LGBTQ, whatever. What have we thrown at them this week? You know? What have we done for any of those other people that fit any other category other than human? What have we done? Because as long as we're talking about any of those things, we have not lifted our minds that are to things that are above. We're still living like other people right here on this earth. And is that really what we're called to do? Is that really who we're called to be? I don't think so. Because you see, we've got to, if we want to be other Christs, raise our minds to be thinking of things differently. All I know is that if Jesus looks at me this evening, I don't want him to look at me and say, "Vanity of vanities, your name is Jay." I'd rather have him look at me and say, "I know you don't always do it right, but thanks for trying to think of things that are above."